Hey all, Pastor John here. Thanks for tuning in to the weekly sermon podcast. We pray this message encourages you, strengthens your faith, and helps you to take your next step with Jesus. If this content blesses you and you'd like to be a part of helping us continue to bring the gospel to life, we'd love for you to consider supporting the ministry of Village. Your generosity makes it possible for us to keep creating and sharing resources like this podcast. You can give safely and easily by visiting sacvillage.org/give or by heading to our website at sacvillage.org. Thanks again for listening. Now let's dive into this week's message. Well, we're in week two of our Made for More series, and we're walking through what it means to be a Christ-honoring disciple. And there are four steps in this journey of discipleship. The first one, last week we covered rooted in Christ. And today we're going to be talking about being renewed in grace. And next week we'll be shaped for a purpose. And the final week we'll be sent to serve. And so we kicked it off last week talking about rooted in Christ. And we said that the Christian life starts with Christ. Not with trying harder, not with earning, not with behavior modification, not Christ plus anything else. But it begins with receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Woo. Sorry. We celebrate the small things around here. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. And we talked about roots and how roots aren't flashy, man. They're not getting any Instagram likes or they're not walking down any runway show, right? You don't see roots anywhere, right? They don't get a lot of applause. They're under the ground. They're out of sight. But roots determine the fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Because when your life sinks deep into Jesus, when your life and the roots of your life sink deep into Jesus, he holds you steady when the storm hits. He nourishes you when life runs dry. And he produces in you what no self-help plan could ever do. And those roots in Christ, they grow through his word. They grow in prayer. They grow through community, being with one another. And they grow as we walk in obedience to Christ. And every time that you've opened your Bible and you read, or every time you pray, or every time you stay faithful when it's easier to walk away, you're feeding those roots and they're taking shape and grounding you in Christ. And so this week we move from rooted in Christ to renewed in grace. And our anchor scripture today is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You can turn there if you would like. There are also some Bibles under some of the chairs around you. If you want to grab one of those, you can grab that, use it, and take it home with you. It's our gift to you. Just want to get the word of God out and in your hands. But it reads in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, and this is one of my favorite. If it's okay to have a favorite scripture, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Now, all the other scriptures are my favorite too, but this one is my favorite favorite. My favorite favorite favorite, right? Here we go. It's short. You guys ready for it? Are you ready for it? Amen. I'm ready. Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Come on, someone say amen. That's good news, amen? That's good news. And that means your past doesn't define you anymore. That means your sin doesn't get the final word in your life. That means your shame doesn't get center stage, because Jesus didn't come to just give you a spiritual tune-up, did he? No, he came to make you brand new. Jesus changes everything. That's going to be kind of a refrain we say today. Jesus changes everything. Can you tell your neighbor, Jesus changes everything? And I think your other neighbor needs to hear it too. Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Not some things, not church things, not Sunday things. He changes everything. Amen?
Amen.
He changes who you are. He changes what you desire. He changes how you walk through pain and how you look at other people. He changes how you handle failure and how you find freedom. Because discipleship isn't just learning to do more for God. It's learning to let God do more in you. And it's the Spirit of God untangling your sin, healing your wounds, silencing your shame, and setting you free to actually live the kind of life that Jesus died to give you. That's what it means to be renewed in grace. To live as someone who's been forgiven, healed, restored, and set free in the context of a gospel-centered community that helps you stay free. You know that about your brothers and sisters around you? You need one another because you help one another stay free. You remind one another, that's not who you are anymore. That's not who you are in Christ. You've been set free from that. We need one another to stay free. And so we're gonna look at renewed in grace with three movements or three ways that grace changes everything. The three ways are grace frees us from condemnation. Grace heals our wounds. And finally, grace empowers us to walk in freedom. When grace takes over and sin loses its grip and shame loses its sting and the Spirit of God begins to breathe in your life and places in your life that you once thought were dead begin to come alive again. Dead things come alive, amen? By the end of today, my prayer is that you'll be able to say with full conviction, I'm not who I was. I'm not what I did. And I'm not what was done to me. I am a new creation in Christ. Why? Because Jesus changes everything. Amen. Number one, grace frees us from condemnation. Listen to what Paul says in Romans about this new life that we have in Jesus. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And notice what Paul didn't say. He didn't say less condemnation, and he didn't say condemnation stored up and delayed until heaven. He said no condemnation, zero, none, not guilty, case closed. And that word condemnation in a courtroom, it's like a courtroom term, and it's the gavel coming down, right? Coming down. Guilty, it means guilty and sentenced. And the truth is, apart from Jesus Christ, we were guilty. Every one of us, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans also says that the wages of sin is death. If you're outside of Christ, if you're not living in him, if he's not Lord and master, then that gavel is still raised over your life. But the wildly crazy good gospel news is this, that if you are in Christ, the gavel has already fallen. It fell on Jesus himself at the cross. The gavel has fallen. He took the sentence. He bore the penalty for your and my sin. And grace, well, grace means that God gives us what we could never earn and withholds from us the judgment that we deserve, all because of Christ. And so, the judge doesn't look at you anymore and say guilty if you're in Christ. He looks at you through Christ and what he has done, and he says to you and me, righteous, free, no condemnation, case closed. Amen? That's good news, eh? When you came to Christ, your old record was wiped clean. Your old identity was buried in the ground. Your old shame was nailed to that rugged cross, and you are not who you used to be. You are new because Jesus changes everything. A lot of Christians, though, maybe even some in this room, are walking around like spiritual zombies. Walking around like spiritual zombies, alive in Christ, and yet still acting like they're dead in sin. Jesus opened the door to the prison, but some people still sit in the cell, clinging to, hugging, you know, getting on their calendar an appointment to date the very chains that held them bound, right? The very chains that Jesus already broke. And the call to you, if you're there, is to stop living like you're still on death row when the blood of Jesus has already set you free. Amen? Well, some of us hear the accuser, Satan, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, whisper in our ear, remember what you did. You'll never change. God can't really forgive that thing. And instead of walking out free, we stay chained to guilt and shame. Pastor Tim Keller once said, the gospel is not advice to be followed. It is news to be believed. And the news is that we are free. Amen. You got to believe it, though. That's the heartbeat of grace. Whatever sin says about you, whatever shame shouts to you, whatever the enemy accuses you of, grace says it louder. No condemnation. So I'll ask you, what guilt are you still carrying that Christ has already nailed to the cross? What label are you wearing that no longer belongs to you? What shame are you listening to that Jesus has already silenced? Because friends, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned. You are free. And this isn't just some sort of positive thinking, you know, manifested in your life kind of thing. This is not try harder so that you can feel forgiven. This is something wholly, completely different. This is God's legal declaration, his verdict over your life. Not just a pep talk, but a final verdict, not guilty, done. And grace, undeserved favor, undeserved merit, frees us from condemnation. It doesn't just stop from freeing us from the guilt and pardon us for sin. Grace also then begins to move into the broken places in our lives to bring healing. And that points us to number two, grace heals our wounds. Sin doesn't just make us guilty. Sin also makes us sick. Shame doesn't just accuse, but it also infects our whole person. And wounds that we've incurred and scar tissue that we have don't just hurt for a season, do they? Some of them shape how we see God, how we see others, and how we see ourselves. It's important to hear the words of the psalmist out of Psalm chapter 34. He said, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I tell you, our world is full of people who are crushed in spirit. Sometimes our church might be full of people who are crushed in spirit. Some of us smile on the outside, but we are bleeding on the inside. We know all the right Christian phrases to say, right? Morning, brother. Morning, sister. How you doing? I'm doing blessed. Doing blessed. Blessed. I don't know if you do blessed, but be blessed. Are blessed. Alms blessed, right? We know the right thing to say, but we're still carrying around that pain. The pain of abuse, the pain of betrayal, the pain of loss or regret. And the enemy would love to keep us there, wouldn't he? To convince you that you're too damaged or too dirty or too far gone from God to be healed. But hear me, the same grace that forgives your sin also can mend your soul. And Jesus didn't just come to set you free from the penalty of sin. He came to heal the very effects of sin in your life. Jesus stood in the synagogue and read from the scroll of Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captive. He heals what sin has broken. The enemy's strategy is very simple. Keep you isolated, keep you ashamed, keep you silent. And you know that Satan works day and night to keep the children of God from believing the promises of God and knowing who they are in Christ. But you know what Satan hates? You know what the deceiver hates? He hates confession. And confession is, like we've tried here at Village over the pattern of our time together, we have tried to normalize confession in our lives. Oftentimes during our prayer time that Nick leads weekly, he'll invite us to confess. He did this morning, to maybe confess an area. Confession is an agreement with God. Confession is a way for us to align with God, to say, this thing in my life, or the way that I'm feeling, or the way that I'm acting, or even our hurts and our pains, to bring them before God and lay them before him and say, I agree with you about this. It's not a negative thing. It's not something to be run away from. It's not something to hide from. It's a beautiful thing, because through confession, we are dragging our sin or dragging our hurt and our pain into the light, and Satan loses his leverage the moment your stuff gets in the light. And some of you have been bleeding in secret, man, smiling on Sundays, but dying on the inside Monday through Saturday. And grace says, bring it into the light. Bring it into the light and let me heal you. James actually talks about this in chapter 5. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And notice it says healed. It doesn't say forgiven. It doesn't say just say forgiven. Confession and prayer bring things into the light so this grace can do its work on it. And some of us have tried to heal in isolation. We hide our wounds, we manage our pain, we smile through it, hoping it'll fade away. But grace, man, grace flows best in the light, doesn't it? And the church is meant to be a hospital for sinners. It's meant to be a place where we confess to one another and pray for one another, and the healing takes place week after week after week, day after day. Augustine once said that the confession of evil works, the confession of our sins, is the beginning of good works. It sets us on the path to be renewed in grace and useful in God's hands for good works. When we're honest before God and others, when we bring our wounds to the surface, God begins to apply his healing touch. But there's more, because God also never wastes a wound. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? God never wastes a wound. Elizabeth Elliot, who I believe was the wife of Jim Elliot, who died at the hands of a tribe he was trying to minister to in South America. Elizabeth Elliot, who had gone through many hurts and pains in her life and endured great suffering, she said, God never wastes a hurt. He heals us so that we might bring his healing to others. He heals our wounds so that we might bring his healing to others. And that's what's so profound about your story. If you just think for a moment about your story matters. Your story matters because God has been at work in your story. And the place where you were once crushed, the place where you were once brokenhearted, may become the very place that God uses to comfort someone else. The place where you were wounded may become the place you minister from. And so where are you hurting? What's the wound that you don't talk about anymore because it still stings? What lie do you still believe when the lights go out at night? Grace can reach there. Grace can meet you in the dark. And here's the beauty. Grace doesn't flinch when it sees your ugly scars. Healing begins when you take that courageous step, when you open up to someone, when you confess sin, when you bring it into the light. And the gospel is not just the power to forgive sins, it's the power to heal sinners and those who are affected by sin. And that's what it means to be renewed in grace. Grace frees us from condemnation and grace heals our wounds, but it doesn't stop there because grace also empowers us to walk in freedom, to live a new kind of life by the power of the Spirit. And so number three, if you're taking notes, grace empowers us to walk in freedom. If the first movement of grace frees us from condemnation and the second heals our wounds, the third shows us grace empowering us to live free. Because grace is not just pardon, it is also power. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
The Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And he also says again in Galatians chapter 5, "For freedom, Christ has set you free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, "For freedom, Christ set you free, so now go and do whatever you want," does he? He says, "Stand firm. Christ has set you free. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Now stand firm in the freedom that Christ has won for you, has bought for you." Freedom is not a license to sin. It's power to live differently. Freedom is not the absence of restraint in our life. It's the presence of the right master in our life. The world defines freedom as, "I get to do whatever I want." But if we're real, man, doing whatever we want, that's what got us into the mess in the first place, isn't it? We were in Uganda, me and my wife, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, something like that. Yeah. I'm really bad with time, so it could have been a year ago. I don't know. We were in Uganda, and we had an opportunity to work with an orphanage there and potentially explore a future missions partner for a village so that we can begin to support and help and send folks over there to do some work. One of the things about Uganda, and one of the things that we noted and all of us on the team talked about, is the condition of their roads. And I think I mentioned this last week. The condition of their roads. Unfortunately, their roads, if they're not dirt, they're gravel. And if they're not gravel, they are paved roads, but they are in disrepair, let's just say. There are a lot of, we would call them, I don't even think it's right to call them a pothole. Like if your whole bus could fall into it, is that a pothole? Or is that like a cliff or something, right? In the middle of the road, all over the place, as you're driving down, there are all kinds of potholes. But one of the other things that we noted is that there are really no rules. Like no rules, it's all just do whatever you want, right? And so cars are veering in and out of traffic. Motorcycles are going up on the hillside and then coming down in front of you. And if you don't like the lane you're in, well, you can just get into head-on traffic. And they'll move eventually, hopefully, maybe possibly as the lights are coming towards you, right? And so we're in the van, we're in the bus, and we're just like, hey, eyes down or eyes forward on the person in front of you, but do not look out the front window because it's terrifying, right? But it's something that I was thinking about because one of the things I also noted is while there are no rules for driving there, or maybe there are rules, but there's just no enforcement, there's no rules for driving there, and you can pretty much do whatever you want. But something I noted is as a result of that, everyone's driving a lot slower. Like the max speed I think we ever made it on that bus was maybe 45 miles an hour. And some of that is because people are literally coming head on toward you and you have to hit your brake and kind of get out of the way and move. Other times it's because you're coming up on one of those massive chasms, those potholes, and you don't want the bus to fall in. And so you have to slow down to 5 miles an hour and inch over it. We were on a whole stretch of gravel road probably for 50 miles. And I think our bus driver was trying to get a land speed record on this gravel. He was going way faster than you should. We got gravel roads where I live, but man, we're like 20, 25 miles, and I think he was hitting that 45-mile mark, right? But you don't drive very fast, and so it's kind of an odd thing. There's less restraints. There's more freedom. But look at what it does. You don't get as far. It's not as efficient. We went from Jinja all the way to Fort Portal, and if this was I-5, we would have made it in 2 hours, 2 hours and a half. It took us 9 hours to get there. And not because we were stuck in 5 hours of traffic. That's just driving 9 hours. Maybe we stopped for 30 minutes to eat some chicken on a stick or something. I think it was chicken. I don't know if it was chicken. Let's not talk about that. Yeah. I didn't know my chickens had little paws. No. It tasted like chicken, but everything does. So. No, but you realize that freedom. We think freedom is unrestrained, no bounds, but we're parents. We have found that our kids have thrived when we put boundaries around them. That's when they thrive. That's when they excel. That's when they can run and go. A parent who never says no to a child or a parent who never puts boundaries around them, well, you're going to end up with a child who doesn't go very far in life. Seen it happen before. But with restraints, you know, we see it all the time here. Maybe it's too fast here, but you put a couple of guardrails up, you put some lines on the road, and you put some CHP out, and we can go 70 miles on the freeway. 65, 70, 85, 90. True freedom, man, true freedom isn't the ability to say yes to every desire that you have. It's the ability to say no to the very things that will destroy you. That's true freedom. And that's what grace does. Grace doesn't just break your chains. It gives you new desires, new wants. The Spirit begins to produce in you a new power to walk away from the things that once owned you. And that's why Paul says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law and sin of death. It's not the law of guilt anymore. We live in the law of life. And when you walk in the Spirit, you are walking in freedom. Some of you will remember the story in the Old Testament about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. God set them free from Pharaoh in a single night. But it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. They were free, but they didn't yet know how to live free. And that's us. Jesus has broken the power of sin, but we're still learning to walk in the freedom that he's purchased for us. And that's why Paul says, stand firm, because freedom must be guarded. Freedom must be practiced. Freedom must be lived out. And grace gives us the power to walk in freedom, not just once, but daily, every day of our walk with Christ. Pastor John Piper put it this way: grace is not simply lenience when we have sinned. Grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. Grace doesn't just break your chains, it changes your heart. It doesn't just clean the record, it changes your story. And grace gives you a new want to, a new power to walk away from what once held you bound. Dallas Willard said that grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. Effort is action. Earning is attitude. In other words, grace doesn't make you passive. It makes you truly alive. You don't work for God's acceptance anymore. That was never the case. Remember, grace is a free gift. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. You don't work for God's acceptance. You work from his acceptance, already received, already yours. You're not striving to get free. You're walking in the freedom that's already been won for you. Amen? For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And so I'll ask you, what's still enslaving you, friends? Is it the approval of others? Is it that secret sin that whispers you'll never be free? Is it fear, or addiction, or anxiety, or anger? Because the Spirit is giving us power to say, man, that used to be me, but that's not me anymore. Man, I want to fly. I want to run. I want to go. I'm done with these chains. And when you're tempted, remember, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. The victory is already won. The verdict has already come down. Christ is king and he rules and he has won. And now you need to walk in that freedom, walk in that victory, walk in the freedom that the Spirit brings, because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive and at work in you. Amen? Man, freedom isn't just a goal. Freedom is a blood-bought inheritance for the children of God. So grace frees us from condemnation. Grace heals our wounds, and grace empowers us to walk in freedom. And this is what it means to be renewed in grace, to live as new creations, to no longer be enslaved to the past, but to live and be alive in the Spirit of Christ. And so let's kind of land this plane and talk about what it looks like. In conclusion, to be renewed in grace is to experience the ongoing, transforming, healing work of God's Spirit in every part of your life. Because discipleship isn't behavior modification, it's heart renovation. It's not about trying to act better on the outside. It's about being made new from the inside out. And the Spirit of God is still doing that work today. He's still freeing people from shame. He's still healing hearts that have been crushed. He's still empowering men and women like you and me to live free from what once enslaved us. Little teaser, next week we're going to hear one of those stories. We're going to have one of our Tell the Story videos next week. And so you'll get to hear a testimony of someone here at Village that God has worked in and been renewed in grace year after year, day after day. So come next week, we'll show that at the beginning of the sermon. But if you are in Christ, you are not the same person you were when Jesus found you. And you will not be the same person tomorrow if you keep walking with him. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation, but Romans 8 doesn't stop there. It keeps going. It says that the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. It says that you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but the Spirit of adoption is yours. Life and peace and adoption and freedom, that's the new reality of grace. You also may notice also something with this, that none of these are meant to be experienced alone. You can't walk in wholeness in isolation. You can't heal in hiding. You need gospel community. Tell your neighbor, you need gospel community. Tell that to your other neighbor, they need to hear it. We all need people People who will remind us who we are when we forget. People who will pray for us when we are falling, and people who will speak truth when the lies get too loud in our ears. At Village, the way we kind of express the second point in our discipleship framework, being renewed in grace, our expression on a corporate level is through small group ministries. Because small group ministry is all about that. It's about finding a place where you can be you, but understand that God won't leave you there. It's where you can be reminded of who you are in Christ Jesus and live life with a group of folks who can help you when you're struggling or pick you up when you're falling. Remember, James said, confess your sins to
one another
and pray for
one another.
Confess your sins to
one another
and pray for
one another
so that you may be healed. Healing happens in the context of radical truthfulness. Gospel community and the faith that we have to pray and to bring our requests before a loving Father and to trust Him with His answer. That's where healing happens. Jesus changes
everything.
And He does it through His Word, and He does it through His Spirit, and He does it by His people. I once heard someone say that grace is like water. It flows downhill and pools in the lowest places. And that means if you're low down today, if you feel stuck, if you're broken or ashamed, you're in the perfect place for grace to find you. Maybe today you need to receive grace for the first time, to step out of condemnation and into Christ. Maybe you've believed in Jesus in the past, but you've been living like a prisoner in a cell that's already been unlocked. Maybe there's a wound that you've carried for years that God wants to begin to heal today. And the good news is that you don't have to fix yourself first. You come to Jesus as you are. Because grace doesn't wait for you to be whole, it makes you whole. Grace found me when I was lost. Grace lifted me when I was down. Grace healed what I couldn't fix. Grace freed what I couldn't break. And grace keeps changing me every single day. You were made for more, friends. And His name is Jesus. And Jesus changes everything. Amen.